The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope this message spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
The scripture reading is Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. The word of God for the people of God.
If God's commandments went away, would anything happen for you personally? If God's commandments were no longer, they no longer existed, would anything change for you personally? Of course, if you're anything like me, you go rational and logic right away, and you start thinking, well, from God's laws and God's commandments, we get other laws and other ramifications and guidelines to live life in accordance with. But would anything change for you personally, not just in your logic, rational mind, but would anything change for you personally? According to Psalm 112, true Christians would be depleted not just of laws and commands and God's statutes, but of delight. That's what this psalm brings to us this morning, Psalm 112. It's one of my pastoral concerns for us as a church as I've been kind of just mulling over this psalm for the last few weeks, that we might be trying to live the Christian life without Christian obedience. I think some of us might be trying to live the Christian life without Christian obedience. A wise father once told his son this. He said, "Listen, son, half-hearted Christians are the most miserable people of all. They know enough about God to feel guilty, but they haven't gone far enough with Christ to be happy." Does that resonate with you this morning? You might know enough about God to feel guilty, but do you know enough about Christ to be truly happy? We're in a sermon series this summer called Behold Your God, and we're looking at different psalms, which is our custom here around Coram Deo Church, to take the summer and look into different psalms throughout the summer. And we're looking at the psalms through the lens of beholding our God. We're looking at what God is like. We want to see God more clearly. We want to behold God, looking at the Psalms in order to see more clearly who he is and what he is like. And today we find ourselves, as you heard Eunice read, in Psalm 112. And what Psalm 112 shows us is that God is the Lord, which is really good news for us because it's good news that somebody is in charge. God is the Lord. And that's the aspect of God's being that we want to behold today that I think he's bringing to us in Psalm 112, that he is the Lord. And he is in control. And if he's the Lord, because he's the Lord, then he deserves our obedience, your obedience, my obedience. He's worthy of our obedience. Or you might say, because God is Lord, we should obey him. If God is the Lord, then we should submit ourselves to him and obey him. And so what Psalm 112 does is it rehearses for us the blessings of obedience. Lots of psalms have to do with God and who he is and his being. Psalm 112 actually says, this is what a worshiper of God ends up looking like. This is all the blessing that comes his way. So here's 3 points for us this morning as we kind of walk our way through Psalm 112, as we journey our way through Psalm 112. Here's what I think you're going to see. Number one, obedience is delightful. Obedience creates stability, and obedience leaves a legacy. I think that's what Psalm 112 is going to paint for you this morning. Number one, obedience is delightful. Have you ever thought about obedience and delight in the same sentence? For some reason, our minds take those two things and put them at polar extremes, polar opposites, don't they? They don't fit together. Delight and obedience, or joy and obeying. But look at Psalm 112, verse 1 with me right here. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. That kind of fear is reverence, honor, gives glory to, weight to the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Now, it's one thing to obey, and it's another thing to delight in obeying. It's one thing to worship God. It's another thing to worship God in a delightful, joyful way, right? Friends, are you delighting in God this morning? As I've been reading Psalm 112, I've had to ask myself the poignant question, do you define all of your delight in God, who he is? Or is he your ultimate joy? Is he actually the center of my life, has been the question that I've been asking as I read this psalm. Is he actually the center of your life? So much so that if he were not to be, or his commandments were to not to be, my life would crumble. Is that the case? Would my joy be obsolete? But if we're honest this morning, I think we have to realize that so many other things, so many other people, so many other possessions, so many other prestiges, so many other opportunities steal our delight. They captivate our delight. They steal our joy. And then God ends up getting tagged along in there somewhere. Psalm 112 says, are his statutes, his laws, his commandments the true source of overwhelming delight for you? And they're personal questions because Psalm 112 is a personal psalm. Psalm 1 says something very similar. The very beginning of the Psalter, Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 say, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. There it is again. He's delighting in the law of the Lord. The psalmist is meditating day and night on the law because he finds his delight in the Lord. Is that true of us? The psalmist has no better satisfaction than in the words of God, than in the law of God. So he can't help but to just meditate it all the time, day and night. Obedience is delightful. When I was becoming a new parent, JC and I were fumbling along. I don't know, maybe when you become a new parent, you just have things figured out. But JC and I quickly figured out that we were a few months into parenting, we were coasting, we were doing so with a lot of intentionality, and we knew that wasn't going to last forever. And so we had to get some things in order. And so what we did was we spent some time developing family values. I don't know why, I don't know, maybe I heard this somewhere. But it seemed like a good idea at the time for all my haphazard parenting. So we developed 6 family values to parent our household, to kind of just frame up our household by as we raised children, and also for us, because I didn't want to be a loose cannon. So here's the 6 Omaha White House family values. They all have scripture attached to them. I'm not going to bore you with that, but I want to just put these before you. Number one, God comes first. My kids could rehearse these for you. God comes first. He can change everything. We need him. Those first 3 have to do with just our orientation to God, who we are. This is the gospel, essentially, is what we need. We need God. He can change everything. He doesn't always change everything, but he can change everything. He can definitely change our sinful hearts. 4, 5, and 6 have to do with our orientation towards one another. Number 4, obey authority. 5, respect mom and dad. And 6, love others as much as you love yourself. This is kind of how we run the Omaha White House. I want to draw your attention to value number 4, obey authority. Now, maybe your house is on point all the time. Ours is on point about 65 to 70% of the time. So value number 4 gets visited quite often at our house, obey authority. Why? Well, because we're raising little children who need to understand authority. That won't be the value that we're always highlighting, I don't think. But it is when you're raising smaller children because you want them to understand authority. Now, I think there's two ways that you can think about this value, and there's probably already two ways that you're thinking about it right now. You're like, oh, that's nice. I'm going to do that. That must make your life real easy. Yeah, see, I think that would be true, right? And I'll confess right now that sometimes when I bring these family values out, I have to also repent quickly on the heels of doing so because I will abuse these things as well. So there's all kinds of confession and repentance going on when I abuse these very values to get my kids to obey authority. One is that it makes my life and JC's life easier. That would be so shallow. The deeper reason for this value is not because my life as a parent needs to be made more easy, but because I want to help my kids to delight in obedience. And if my kids can learn how to delight in authority, which I'm their primary authority right now, but I'm not always going to be their authority, if they can understand how to delight in obedience in the home, then that is going to be far better for them in all of life. Because delight is far better than discipline. True delight is far better than constant discipline. If my kids can't delight in this reality of obeying their authority, they're going to lead miserable lives. I don't want that. They don't want that. And so we spend some time in the primary years trying to teach our kids how to obey authority. It comes with a lot of work. It comes with a lot of intentionality. And then often we'll receive comments, or my wife more often will receive comments when she has those kids in public, and usually it's just the stares that seem to be bringing the comments. It's usually just the stares, or the stares scream, by the way. But sometimes you'll just catch people literally counting how many kids we have because we have six kids. So they'll be like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then if you catch them, they kind of feel awkward. So then that you kind of have to have a dialogue about it. And so sometimes the comments will be like, are all of these kids yours? Which I always want to say in the moment, like, no, like, we totally just picked these kids up. They were in the parking lot, and they looked hungry, so we brought them in. I mean, what do you say in that moment, right? No, they're not. I don't know where these kids came from. They're just here. It's just funny to me, some of the comments that you get. But sometimes you'll actually get comments that are complimentary, comments like, man, your kids seem so well-behaved, or your kids seem to get along so well. Those are great compliments, but you know what? I'm not living for compliments as a parent. I want my kids to delight in obedience, and right now that's with me, but I want that to form their character so that they can become worshipers of God, be great employees, be great spouses, be great parents along the way. I don't want them to delight in obeying me. I want them to delight in the Lord, and I'm their primary source of authority because I know that eventually that will transfer to delighting in the Lord. An added bonus will be they'll be able to understand authority and be great contributors in society, hopefully. But this is exactly what Psalm 112 is trying to teach us this morning, that obedience is delightful. In addition to obedience being delightful, obedience creates stability. Now, I don't know about you, but I could use some stability in my life. My friends, my wife, my children, the other elders that I serve with, they could tell you, sure, Dusty White could use a little stability in his life. Maybe you're steady. Look at verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8 with me. This just describes who we want to be, friends. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. This is interesting timing for Psalm 112 to be brought to us as a church, which was planned a long time ago, in light of where we're at culturally this week in our church and in our world and in our nation. Man, I want to be this person. I so want to be never moved, not afraid of bad news, firm, trusting, steady, not afraid. That sounds fantastic. How about you? Friends, what if you could do away with all of the high highs and the low lows? What if the moods and the mood swings, what if the fits and starts to all of your good endeavors and all of your good intentions, what if those could be done away with? Well, according to Psalm 112, you can have a steady life if you obey the Lord and delight in his commandments. That's what Psalm 112 tells us. Obedience to God and his commandments creates stability. Look at those verses. Never moved, not afraid of bad news, firm, trusting, steady. Let's do the adjective test real quick. You know the adjective test where if you're applying for a new job or you're filling out like a personality inventory or a leadership thing or something, you've probably done the adjective test where they give you the opportunity to like make yourself awesome. And so you fill out the adjective test and it says something like, list all the adjectives that best describe you. Or list five adjectives, so they narrow it down for you. You got to list five now that are going to describe your personality. They want to know how you think about yourself, right? Is steady one of the adjectives that you would use to describe yourself? Obedience creates stability. When you obey God and delight in his ways, he makes your heart steady. The righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. Look that he's realistic there. He doesn't say bad news is never going to come. He says he's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. I love the realistic nature of this psalm. He says, you will not be above bad news, but when bad news strikes, you can be firm. You don't have to be afraid of bad news if you delight yourself in the laws of the Lord. If we're honest, we're all afraid of bad news, right? If you're not afraid a little bit, then you're not human. If you're not afraid a little bit, then you're not human. But Psalm 112 says, in your fear, you can have steadiness. Fear of violent shootings, fear of illness, fear of cancer, fear of somehow your physical body is going to fail you and strike you. We have these fears, don't we? Fears of death, fears of losing a spouse too early, fears of losing a child and have to bury a child, fear of never having a child. These are fears that we have, friends. These fears are real because we are human. And godly people will have fears. Godly people will have troubles. Godly people will even have enemies. But godly, obedient people do not have to be shaken, according to Psalm 112. Obedience creates stability. And it meets us right into those fears this morning. And it says, come and obey me. Come and trust that I am the Lord. Come and delight yourself in the laws of the Lord. Come and see that I am the Lord and that I am good, and I will firm up your heart in those circumstances. If you're not delighting in his commandments, what are you delighting yourself in, and does it last? Is it sure? Is it trustworthy? I think we all want steadiness. Obedience creates stability. Friends, we need obedience because we want steady hearts. You need obedience. You need obedience to the Lord because you want a steady heart. One of the interesting things about dying is that somebody else gets to decide what happens at your funeral. Somebody else gets to decide what happens on the tombstone. Somebody else plans the funeral. Somebody else says the nice things. Somebody else has to do the grieving. But what if in that moment, for you, it said things like, obedient to the Lord all the way to the end? Or what if at the luncheon, after the funeral's concluded, the graveside's concluded, they're in the church basement eating a luncheon on your behalf, and they say things like, man, she was steady when she faced those fears because she was truly delighting herself in the Lord. Or what if they said, every time I met with him, every time I seen him when he was facing these things, he seemed to count them as joy and truly delight himself in the Lord all the way to the end. What if they said, she not only knew the scripture, she not only knew truth about God, but she seemed to live that out. It seemed to just have a ripple effect into my life because it saturated who she was. Friends, obedience is delightful. Obedience creates stability, and obedience leaves a legacy. Look at what happens when we fear the Lord and delight in his commandments. Verse 2, his offspring will be mighty in the land, and the next generation receives blessing. That's what we all want. That's vision. That means that our obedience isn't even about us. It's about us a little bit, but it goes beyond us in a way that isn't about us. It's actually about the next generation as well. Your obedience isn't just about you. Verse 3, his righteousness endures forever. There's a residual effect of the righteous that continues both into heaven that becomes perfected in a certain kind of way, but has a ripple effect that's left on earth, and people are affected by your obedience to the Lord. And there's stories in this room. We could sit here all week and just have story after story after story about grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, and the trickle-down effect that is undeniable about people who have in your family delighted themselves in the Lord and been faithful all the way to the end. Because obedience to Christ leaves a legacy. And that's what we all want. It doesn't matter if you don't know what you're doing. You can be discipled into it. It doesn't matter if you're a first-generation Christian who's trying to figure out how to obey the Lord for the first time. It doesn't matter if you're a fifth-generation Christian from a long, godly heritage who's walked into that blessing and has transferred that blessing and is over time giving that blessing away even more. Obedience over time leaves a legacy that we want. And the world that we live in screams at us that for somehow we tend to believe these screams of the world that we can like wake up one day and just change the whole world and along the way do whatever we want at the same time. However, we've seen in history and we've seen in church history that there has never been anything wrong with a low-key faithfulness in the direction of God and his ways over time. Because obedience leaves a legacy. Why Psalm 112? I don't know about you, but sometimes I open scripture and I read it and then I go, why is this here? Like, what does God have for us here? Why Psalm 112? Why today? Why us? Why now? And it can be summed up in one word for us this morning. Obedience. God wants us to experience the blessings of obedience. And as you read Psalm 112 with a godly heart and you see these blessings of obedience come into that person, you say, yeah, I want to be that person. I want to be that blessed person. I want to receive those fruits of obedience. And so the answer for us is obedience, Christian obedience. But it's not that easy. That would be a truncated view, I think, of Psalm 112. Because don't you hear the lie? Don't you see the lie? That obedience means, well, that's going to be really hard. I'm going to have to really like white knuckle that and be really dutiful to the things of God and the commandments. Let's go back to where we started. Listen, son. Half-hearted Christians are the most miserable people of all. They know enough about God to feel guilty, but they haven't gone far enough with Christ to be happy. Friends, the truth is, obedience to God is blessing. Obedience to God is not dutiful, it's delightful. Trusting God, carrying out his commandments is life and joy. Some of us are half-hearted Christians, and we've gone far enough with God to feel guilty, but not far enough with Christ to be truly happy. And here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ is this blessed man that Psalm 112 talks about. Jesus Christ fulfills Psalm 112 for us. Psalm 112 is so much more about Jesus way before it's about us. Look at Psalm 112. Jesus fears the Lord, who he greatly delights in his commandments. Jesus is gracious, merciful, and righteous. We read Psalm 112 and say, yeah, I want those characteristics to be true of me. I want to be gracious and merciful and righteous. Friends, Jesus is gracious, merciful, and righteous. We want steady hearts. We want stability. Jesus is steady. He's firm and he trusts the Lord all the way to the end. Jesus has distributed freely and given to the poor. And Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit to be his people so that we can fear the Lord and greatly delight in his commandments. We can honor the Lord, not white knuckle it, and joyfully, delightfully esteem him and uphold him in our culture. Psalm 112 is meant to be the story of our lives, delighting in God's commandments, steady, firm, trusting, leaving godly legacies to our children and our grandchildren. Psalm 112 is the normal Christian life. That's why God gives us Psalm 112. He gives it to say, hey, this is what it looks like to be mine. This is what it looks like to be my disciple. This is why Jesus also came and lived and died for us. He died to usher us into the realities of Psalm 112. So if you feel like obedience is a grind, or if you're not delighting in God's commands, or if disobedience tends to be the normal pattern of your life rather than obedience, might I suggest to you this morning that you know enough about God to perhaps feel guilty. Guilt might have even gotten you in the room this morning. But you haven't gone far enough with Christ to understand what true joy is, to understand what true happiness is. God does not want us to leave with a guilt-stricken, dutiful, white-knuckled, okay, I gotta obey God's commands. That's not at all what he wants. He wants us to delight in him. He did not die for us. God did not send Jesus to the cross so that we could live dutiful lives, white-knuckling it through life and just trying to obey him. He did so much more for that. He came and gave us Jesus so that we could have a delightful life, and that comes to us as we follow his teachings and obey him as Lord. When we baptize people at Coramdale, one of the questions that we ask is we say, do you intend to follow God and all of his commandments and delight? Do you intend, with God's intentions, to follow all of his commands? I get tripped up on that when we do baptisms too. And the answer is yes. I do make that intention. I do want that. The fact that Jesus fulfills all of this on our behalf means that we do not have to stay in guilt this morning. His invitation to us is, hey, come and delight yourself in me. Come and delight yourself in my ways. My ways are not dutiful. They are delightful. Let's pray in light of Psalm 112 this morning. Spirit, we realize that Psalm 112 convicts us this morning that we might be even living guilt-ridden lives, but we don't want to do that. We want to be free of that. We want to be ushered in by your grace to joyful, free lives. And so, Holy Spirit, would you continue to do your work in us? Help us to delight in you alone. God, we tend to see obedience and delight as two different things. We also see obedience as a restriction, but it is not. Restriction is not the case of obedience. Redemption is the case of our obedience. God, would you usher us towards obedience with true joy, true delight? Would we delight ourselves in you and in your statutes and your laws and your commands so that we could actually have delightful lives? Stable lives, lives that leave a legacy, that have a ripple effect here on earth that we tell stories about forever. Not because we need accolades, but because we want people to walk faithfully with Christ, not in guilt, but in delight. God, we confess this morning that we need that. We need to see delight in your ways, delight in your commandments. You did not give them to us to white-knuckle it and be dutiful. You gave them to bring rest and peace as the Prince of Peace and to usher us into true joy. We pray these things in your name. Amen.